to worship at Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. It's great to see each of your shining faces. We're going to talk about shining this week. Get this fly off my face. Yeah. We're going to talk about shining our light and spreading our salt and making ourselves the people of God that God has called us to be. And we are here to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I'm so grateful to you and thankful for your presence here today to worship. This morning, I want to say that you all have probably caught the mistake on here already. It says 10:30 up there. And what time is it now? It's 11 o'clock, so this is obviously a mistake, and you all are tolerant of us when we do make mistakes, and we appreciate that. Let's worship our God by sharing the peace of Christ with your neighbor.
Calvary. Good morning, Calvary. Welcome on this Super Sunday. We have our soup cans out in the back and donations of a dollar. If you forgot your cans, then you could go ahead and add some more in there. Let's turn to your announcements. My name is Diane Rood. I will be your liturgist for the month of February. Yay. And if you would pull out your insert, I'm not going to go over all the announcements, but on Friday is our Valentine's dinner and show, and we'd love to have you. If you haven't already reserved, let Robin Sowers know, and we look forward to everyone being there and having a good time playing games and having a wonderful dinner. And we have the children's Valentine's party on next Sunday, the 12th, after the 11 a.m. service. Just bring a box of children's Valentine's cards signed by you with no names on it. I guess there's going to be a light lunch, so you can RSVP that. I guess on the announcements, they had the council meeting tonight, but it's actually next Sunday at 6 p.m. So if you saw that, that's another error. Apologies. And then We have bread in the kitchen. We have bread in the kitchen. Anybody that needs bread or knows someone that needs bread, be sure to pick some up and take it out because we don't want it to go bad. And anyone else?
Last week I mentioned the Jacksonville Citywide Citizens Drive next Saturday. Calvary is one of the starting and collection points. It starts at 8 o'clock. They ask that everybody be here by 8 so that you can get your tools and your assignments and go out and glean this citrus to bring it back to the food banks for people that really need it. And please, there is lots of bread in the kitchen. Take it. You need it for the Super Bowl.
Yes. And the food bank will be this Friday as well at 11. If you would, turn to the back of your bulletin for the opening words. We are called to bring a new understanding of God, that God so loves the world.
We are the salt of the earth.
We are called to bring a new hope to God, in God, that God gives us new life.
We are the light of the world.
We are called to follow the commandments and the law.
The law of God is to love God and to love one another.
Come, let us be the salt of the earth and the light of the world.
Come, let us love one another with the love of God. Let us join together in our love of God to worship and follow Jesus.
If you would please stand and turn in your hymnals to page 377, we will sing "It Is Well With My Soul."
Doing today? It's good to see you. Look at the children coming up here. Wow. Now, I want to ask you a question. Have any of you ever taken a walk or gone outside after dark? After dark at night. Have you taken a walk in the dark? Have you? You have? Tell me what special thing you do when you go outside in the dark. You do something special that you might not do in the daytime? Can you think of that? Anybody else can tell me? What does that make? You have stars at night? That's right. Zachary? Halloween comes at night. Now, there is something that you do at night with Halloween, and I wonder what that is. Bradley, we're going to try and give someone else a chance. You know what? I call him Bradley all the time because Bradley is so eager to answer my questions. One of the things that we do when we walk at night, we take a flashlight so we can see where we're going, right? But there's something else we do. Sometimes we wear clothing to help us be seen by others. This is something that I frequently wear when I walk my dogs at night. Why do you think I wear this? Why? Because it's cold out? Well, that's true. It's definitely a warm jacket. It's definitely a warm jacket. Zachary? There you go. So I can be seen by cars and I don't get run over. That's right. We need to be seen. And today, Jesus talks about letting your light shine, that if you have a light, it doesn't do any good to put it under a bushel or a basket. That's what a bushel is, a basket, because then no one can see it. You want to be seen in order to be safe. But Jesus wants us to shine our light, the light that we have from God that's within us. Everybody here has a light within you that Jesus wants you to shine to the whole world. What do you think? Why do you think we need to shine our light to the whole world? Why do you think we need to do that? To tell the people that we love God and that God loves them. If we shine our light, they will know who God is through us. And that's what we're called to do. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. We thank you, God, for the gift of these children and ask that you give them grace and strength as they grow in your truth and love. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Okay, here you go. Take a piece of candy. Don't want to hit your head. There you go. One piece. There you go. Thank you, sweetie. Let someone else have a turn. We continue to worship God this morning with the giving of our tithes and offerings. Will the ushers please come forward as we share the offerings to God? Let us pray. We are grateful, O God, for all good gifts. We come into your presence with praise and thanksgiving and ask that you continue to bless us with your love as we follow your word and love your world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Quick little thing, you see Jamie switch from usher to choir member. Did you see that?
It's possible.
Superman. Just the point is that we've got folks in the choir that just participate in everything in the church. And we don't want to be taking up all the fun. Want to let you know that you can always get involved with a committee or be an usher or be the head of the SPRC committee. So all you got to do is decide that you want to do something, and let Pastor Esther or one of the ushers know, or Bob back there, and I'm sure they will help you get involved. And you don't necessarily have to sing in the choir, but you're welcome to do that first and foremost.
Thank you.
don't come to the communion table because we are good or perfect. We come because God is good and loves us perfectly.
Amen.
I want you to turn in your hymnals to page 7 and 8 as we make the invitation and offer our confession before God as we prepare to come to the Lord's table. At the bottom of page 7, I will begin. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another.
Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.
This morning, is it on? Matthew 4, 13 through 16. Five. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown and trampled out underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and gives it light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The word of God for the people of God.
Don't you think Diane is doing a great job as liturgist? This is her first time, but she acts like a pro.
You should hear her sing.
Yeah.
I'm not tired of seeing the rest of it.
No. Well, one would not think that there would be so much to know about salt. I mean, after all, salt is salt, but there is a lot to know about salt. In fact, it seems like you can write a whole history of the world just by tracing what has happened with salt. People have done it. There's a book out there, I'm told, that's called Salt, A World History, by Mark Kalansky, and if you have plenty of time, I suggest you go out there and race out there and get that book and read it. But yes, wars have been won and lost on the basis of who has control of the stores of salt. Governments have found salt a lucrative means of raising money by controlling it, and of course, taxing it. At different points in history, salt has been the currency of commerce, and our word salary has its roots in the sense that the worker was paid in order to buy salt. Until about 100 years or so ago, salt was scarce. It was hard to come by. And so at the time of Jesus, and long before that, and ever since then, salt was necessary for the preservation of food. Having it or not having it was the difference between life and death, frequently. So that was pretty important. Besides flavoring our food, I am told that salt has thousands of purposes. We can name just a few of those. It softens the water. It melts the ice on the sidewalk, which we don't have down here. Our sun does that. And when gargled with, it can soothe a sore throat. So there are 1,000 uses for salt. And nowadays, salt is cheap. It's one of the cheapest things you can buy in the store, except when you can't get your hands on it. And every year we hear about those cities in the south, of course, further north of us, but still in the south, that can't get salt after they've had a snowstorm or an ice storm, and there's not enough salt to be had. It was not to be found. It was so scarce, I even heard that some towns could only salt the major thoroughfares and the dangerous intersections, and the rest of the city had to do without. And so when it's been a tough winter, and it has snowed as far south as places like Atlanta, these places have run out of salt. And it's not that there isn't an abundance of salt, it's that it's stuck on a barge somewhere in the Mississippi River, which is frozen, and you can't get the salt to where you are. So in Jesus' time, when salt was truly scarce, and in our time, when it is scarce under certain circumstances, it matters that Jesus says to those who were listening then and to we who are listening now, you are the salt of the earth. Notice in this gospel reading, Jesus doesn't say you should be the salt of the earth. Jesus says you are the salt of the earth. Jesus doesn't say you should be the light of the world. Jesus says, my friends, you are the light of the world. In other words, you are of great value. And just think of all the varied ways the gift you are and the gifts you offer impact the world. There is no one else who can give the world what you can give. And even though Jesus does say that it loses its taste, it never actually does. Salt is only useless when it's not used for the purpose it was meant. You are the salt of the earth. These words are meant for you and they're meant for me. And by getting the salt out of the shaker, out of the bag, off the barge in the Mississippi, salt simply does what salt does. It preserves and brings healing and provides safety and offers us flavor. And it all starts with being reminded that this is who you are, and this is what you are for. You are salt. You are a person of principle and integrity. You are courageous. You are strong. And being told it is so is the beginning of it being so, or of it continuing to be so, I believe. So I want to say it to you again. You are the salt of the earth. Jesus says these words to you today. You are of great value. Who and what you are and all that you give to the world makes the world a better and richer place. The world needs you. All you have to do is get out of the shaker, out of the bag, and off the barge, and be and do what you were made to be and do. Now, Pope Francis is under attack today from many in the church because of his emphasis on the poor. And you know, he took his papal name from Francis of Assisi. And I hope you all remember who St. Francis is. He was a man who, before he became a saint, he gave away everything that he had to the poor. He walked unarmed into a Muslim army in the Holy Land in hopes of stopping a war. He was a man who inspired millions to live lives of love and sacrifice for others. The story is told about St. Francis that one day a new friar wanted to go out preaching with him, and they went around all day helping people. At the end of the day, the young man said he had learned nothing about preaching. And Francis said, "You should preach the gospel at all times, but use words only when absolutely necessary." As a church, I would like us to practice being salt out of the salt shaker. I want us to preach with our lives instead of words. In fact, during the season of Lent, which is just a few weeks away, I want us not to give up something for Lent, but to give back something for Lent. Let us give back to the community for the sake of Christ. Let us commit ourselves to being salt in a flavorless world, preaching the gospel with our lives. You are the salt of the earth. All you have to do is get out of the shaker, out of the bag, and off the barge, and be and do what you were called and created to be and do. Amen and amen. This morning I want us to come to the table of God, prepare ourselves to receive the gift of God. And as the invitation makes clear, this offer was made to us while we were yet sinners. And so no one is called upon to be perfect to receive this gift. But we are called upon to look deep within ourselves and to say, God, make our confession to God before coming to this table, which we have done today. And we receive God's gift of forgiveness. And every time we seek forgiveness, we have the possibility of new life. We have the possibility of life eternal. And every time we come to this table, we are forgiven. And so I hope that you will feel called upon to come to receive God's good gifts today. All are invited. You do not have to be a member of this or any other church. This is between you and God. And if you are not able to come to the rail, I will serve you where you are in the pew. On that night in which Jesus had a meal with his friends, he took a piece of the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. When you eat this bread, remember that I died for you, and be thankful." He also took the cup, and when he had given thanks and blessed it, he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me and be thankful." The table is open. The first to be served will be the choir, and then the ushers will direct you to come to the table. Will you come?
If you would please stand and turn to page 717 in your hymnal, we'll sing verses 1, 4, and 5 of the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Place, go in his peace. Amen.